You're listening to the Raising Empowered Humans series here on the Chat About Children podcast. Let's chat.
Discover children at a whole new level. Be empowered to grow with the children in your life. Welcome to Chat About Children with Sonia Bestelich.
Thank you for joining me for this very special series, the Raising Empowered Humans series. The intention of this series is to share powerful conversations with heart-led leaders, entrepreneurs, experts, innovators, and imaginators who share their stories, philosophies, practices, and principles when it comes to raising empowered humans. This series aims to inspire and energize parents, carers, and professionals who work with children to leave a legacy of raising children who are of highest service to themselves and to the world. Now, I do welcome you to sign up to my newsletter at soniabestelich.com for transformative tips, tools, and strategies to help you be more empowered in raising empowered humans. Let's get this episode started. As co-founder and executive director of Bean Media Group, Anna Dutton has poured her energy and passion into building a multi-million dollar business bolstered by The CEO Magazine, a globally recognized publication created for executives, entrepreneurs, and business leaders. The CEO Magazine publication spans across major regions of the world, with content available in English, Spanish, and Mandarin. Many cover stories have been featured over the years, including exclusive interviews with many inspiring individuals, such as Elon Musk, Oprah, Sir Richard Branson, Elle Macpherson, Bill Gates, and Serena Williams, to name just a few. The CEO Magazine continues to be the go-to read for those at the top and those aspiring to be. Anna is a firm believer in the power of connection and networking, and she loves to help make a difference for women in business and through her media platform provide them with a voice to tell their stories. Meanwhile, as the CEO Magazine evolves in the digital age, Anna's own story continues with her passion to inspire and connect people, which aligns with the overarching mission of providing a thriving global media brand that impacts and inspires others. Not only is the business still growing, but so is Anna, and she's excited to see where she will land and what she will learn and be inspired by next.
Well, I am super excited to have the co-founder of the CEO Magazine with me, Anna Dutton. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And thank you for having me today. Very excited.
Well, it's a super special series. It's the Raising Empowered Human series. And you came to mind as someone who I really see as having an encyclopedia-like life of experiences and learning from leaders, as well as your own, of course, personal journey. And so I really was keen to chat to you today about, you know, what are some of those learnings from leaders and what are some of those deep learnings from your own childhood and your own journey that's shaped the way that you've raised and nurtured your family. So let's dive in, Anna, because I'd love to start with you sharing aspects of your childhood, kind of those key moments or circumstances that you felt really shaped and contributed to you being the empowered human that, you know, stands here today.
Well, I can't really go far than the two main women in my family, which is my mother and my grandmother. Being very strong females themselves, they've really helped me to face challenges and move forward. They've always been very, very independent and strong-minded themselves. So I think that's probably where that's come from. And my grandmother in particular was always very independently financial. So she always looked after herself. And I think that's probably where I get that from too, because I have to be in control of my financial welfare. And my mum ran her own advertising business for several years. So that's kind of like the tie-in with owning your own business, wanting to get into sort of publishing in some form, because I grew up it all around that, and I did a print media management course. So it all kind of ties in. And then one of my other loves of life is health and fitness. And I love reading up all the research and everything to do with health and fitness. And that definitely comes from my father. So he was a running coach. He did that 10K runs. That was his big thing. But now he focuses more on coaching people in his local community to be the best runners that they can be. And both of them are very social people and very community driven. So I think that's where I get my real sense of community too.
I love that. You've created for me anyway, this beautiful visual of this full circle of life, of the generations, of the gifts from both mother and father. That's a really beautiful, beautiful picture. And so how has that shaped the way that you have brought up your child? And have there been elements where you thought, I really want to do this differently to the way I was brought up? Or has it been more like, I really want to carry on or carry through with some of those various aspects? How has it been for you?
I think, you know, trying to show her that it's important to stay strong and true to your values, that's really important. But I think something that I've really learned probably dates back to when she was a baby. And it's something I try and say to her all the time, is it's okay to ask for help. Mm. Like, I struggled a lot when she was a baby because I thought I had all the answers. I read all the books, thought, oh yeah, I can do this. I can't have a stew. But you know, there comes challenges, and I didn't even know that you had to teach a baby how to sleep. Like, I just thought, oh, she's going to fall asleep, it'll be fine. Yeah. But I struggled quite a bit in those first few days, and it wasn't until I met and spoke to a lady who was a bit more outside of the traditional way of thinking, because it was always breastfed. And I tried and just wasn't getting anywhere. I was miserable. I felt really depleted and felt like I was the worst mother on the planet. But it wasn't until I spoke to her and all she said to me was, you just need to feed her. Doesn't matter. Just bottle feed her. Just give her, I think it was 90 mils or something at the time. And so you'll see what happened. I gave her that 90 mils and she slept for 2.5 hours in the day. I was like, But what I learned from that was it was okay not to know everything. It was okay to ask. And that's something that now I say to my daughter all the time. If you don't understand, ask. And if you still don't understand, ask again. It's okay. Yes.
And share how old your daughter is and how she's progressed with that journey. Because I have to say, asking for help is a big one, no matter what age we are. And it will vary depending on life context and circumstances. How is she going with that? Have you seen a little bit of like the evolution of that life skill?
Yeah, definitely. She's quite mature in that she's grown up, because she's an only child. She's grown up a lot around adults. So she's learned to be comfortable in those situations and ask if she doesn't understand something. Yeah, I have to remind her every now and then, but I've seen her and she doesn't know that I'm watching sometimes. And I watch her and her conversations that she has with adults. And I'm so proud of her, because if they say something and she's like, don't get that, she'll question it and not in a a defensive or offensive kind of way, but in a kind of, I need to understand that further kind of way, which is really lovely. So hopefully that's rubbing off.
That's beautiful. And I think what I glean from that is having the approach of curiosity.
Yeah.
And so the tone is one that's curious and tell me more or help me understand this. So yes, there's a clarification, comprehension part. But when we are naturally applying curiosity, that's where the gold happens. That's where the questions come and the learning comes. So if I asked you the question, what is not just success, but how would you define authentic success? Because I think they're two different things. Authentic success and success are very different. How would you define authentic success?
Absolutely. And I totally agree. You can tell the difference. And I think authentic success is a real mix of traits, of values. And one for me, it might, you know, different for different people, but what I see more than often, the common denominator, are three main things. The first thing absolutely is about passion. You have to love what you do, because that's what you get up in the morning. That's what makes you get up in the morning. So absolutely number one. Number two, determination. So this means, if you have passion, you will want to strive to do better, and you will put 100% in, and you will never quit. Quitting is the worst thing ever if you're trying to succeed in something that you're doing, and learning from those mistakes. And this is where it relates so much more to children, is they're going to make all the mistakes.
Yes.
Now, and that's what they're supposed to do, but it's okay. It's actually essential, because that's how they will learn. And it's the same when you're in business. You know, I can't tell you the amount of times I've messed up, made massive mistakes, but that's fine. That's fine. You learn from them and you move on. Most recently, in that determination piece, it's been all about flexibility, putting 100% effort in, but being able to be flexible, especially in times of adversity. As you know, in the last few years, we've all faced that. And the last one, I think it's probably more of a female trait, not always, but generally, it's compassion. Yeah. So compassion, when you're leading teams and you're leading groups, it flows out to everybody that's around you, or everybody that touches you in that business sense. So your stakeholders, your employees, your clients, I think it bodes well for you to understand what their needs are and where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And I think the mix of those three are all essential.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're all beautiful characteristics of really the essence of what it is to raise empowered humans. And you've brought in the leadership or kind of parallels with organizations and business and teams. And it was actually the other day I was reading something that said that the skills of parents and carers, very much when you enter the parenting world, you are called upon to develop, grow, and evolve your leadership skills. And they are very much transferable across into various contexts. So we've got determination, what kind of came through, the determination, the passion, the flexibility, and the compassion as some of those core elements. And the other thing from what you just said, Anna, which is really cool, and tell me if I've interpreted it differently, but what the way I interpret it was, all of those areas, yes, we're talking about raising empowered humans, but we are not setting two different sets of rules for the kids and for ourselves. Yeah. So all of those areas is very much for us and has the flow on to them. So it's not about teaching them this stuff. It's about embodying this ourselves, as well as having them kind of absorb that from us.
Yeah,
no pressure.
Absolutely.
But it's, well, no, but it's you a lead practice. By example.
You know?
Exactly.
You have to lead by example. Like, you know, with my daughter in particular, that compassion piece is something I talk about with her all the time. You know, if there's a problem at school and someone's being mean, then there's probably something behind that. So just have a bit of compassion and try and understand where that's coming from. Because it's not about her.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you've come to learn all that you have learned from the various leaders that you've come across within your career and in life, have you found that the common themes that come through from learning from them, are those common themes from them what you've just described, the determination, the passion, the flexibility? Is it pretty much mirroring the lessons from all those leaders?
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. And we are talking about authentic authenticity here, and I think those are the main things that really, really shine through every time.
Because one of the other elements or challenges for families and also for professionals who work with children is we can get so caught up in the outer, in the nurturing, in the this is my role is to, raise this child and kind of you give your all. But in that process, there can be that element of losing oneself. And I know if I was to ask you, Anna, that you've got a global business going, you're nurturing a family, you're nurturing your own personal health. How are you doing it? If I can just coin it that way, how are you doing it so that you're not losing yourself? You're not giving away your personal power? What's the journey been like for you?
So it probably starts with, kids going back to school. That's well, that for me was a big moment in time, because I realized that my daughter didn't need me as much every day as she did, you know, the year before. So what I thought I needed to do, I mean, obviously realizing that I've now got a bit more time and although my priority is still her, I had that capacity now to do something else. So then I looked inward and I thought, okay, what is it that really floats my boat? What's my power? What do I love? And I thought, you know, you started this magazine because I love to hear people's stories and connecting people with other people. So I thought, okay, this is where I need to start. So then I started to put myself into situations where I could meet people, I could hear their stories, learn from them, but also just get those juices flowing again, just in that environment. And it didn't mean that, you know, I was automatically, you know, writing people's stories up. It just meant I was back in that environment and starting to learn and get that self-confidence back. And yes, right from before Indy was born, my daughter was born, I knew that she was always going to be my priority. So I had to put some things in place to make sure that what I was doing in the business could be looked after by other people and feel confident that they could still grow and develop the business without me being there 100% of the time. So that took some time, and probably one of the hardest things is letting go.
Yeah.
You know, that was my baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, like most people in that situation, it's really hard to do, but it's actually really essential, because then you can have the best of both worlds. And that's why I'm in the situation I'm in now, because I know I've got an amazing team in the business that can do those things, which frees me up to try to be the best mum that I can be, but also have the ability to jump in and be there when the business needs me. So it is a tricky balance, and it's different for different people. That's how I did it.
Wondering how your family can flourish without the sacrifice of your health, wealth, and dreams? Empowering a family to flourish is both an art and a science, and I'm super excited to have packaged decades of expertise to create the Flourishing Families program for you. It's time to shift the energy of your family ecosystem with more fun, more freedom, and more fulfillment. Head over to soniabeslich.com and sign up now.
What you're describing is that clear intention. This is what I'm going to do. And then the how kind of comes to you as to the actions you need to take. And the really important thing that you also mentioned was really you, with intention, you reignited your inner spark.
Yes.
What is it that lights me up? What is that spark? And just the little match is enough. You know, it's just like, just give me that little spark. That's it. And it's just as small as it may sound, it's a massive step for so many. And I think because of I call it the myth of thinking that when you give to yourself, you're taking away from others, when in fact it's the reverse. And when you do give to yourself and you're honoring your inner spark, you are actually expanding that spark energy with others. That's the beauty. You're actually amplifying your love for the other, not necessarily taking it away.
Yes.
We're kind of going some life skills, you know, asking for help, personal power. What about when it comes to personal boundaries? Because this is a big one as a life skill, and I think an important one when we're for ourselves and certainly raising empowered humans. Talk to me about knowing your personal boundaries, honoring them, and then communicating them when appropriate. This can be a whole workshop, but it is a crucial life skill. How do you practice that art of personal boundaries?
I think firstly, you need to understand what your values are in the first place. If you know what your values are, then it's an easier job to see where things don't fit. So in that respect, I think the hardest thing is the power of no. Yep. You know, it is saying to somebody, no, that's not for me, or it doesn't align with my values, or whatever, and being able to walk away from it. But if you know what your values are, that actually becomes a little bit easier. I've talked to my daughter about her, not necessarily her values, because it's a different concept when you're younger, but understanding who you are and what you believe in. And I said, and if this is your belief, I said, if others don't match that, then it's okay. And it's okay for you to say that, actually, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. And stick to your guns, you know, use your gut, use your instinct. If it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't align, then you don't have to go there. It's fine. Because not everybody, and especially the age she is at the moment, they're all just trying to work out who they are, where they belong, what their purpose is. You know, you don't have to be the yes person. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to say no.
Yes, and that is a huge one. And it's okay. And of course, there's that identity phase of who am I, and I do want to belong, and I don't want to say no, and I do want to fit in. And I think, yes, coming back to knowing who you are, embracing who you are, and knowing those values. And I think almost reminding children and ourselves sometimes, you know, what is it that is important to you?
Yeah.
That's your decision-making framework. Thank you for sharing that. That's a good one. I know others will just be like, aha. Because it doesn't always come as a, you know, there's such autopilot things going on in daily life that we often assume things will just, you know, happen, like the baby sleeping will just happen. It's not always like that. Tell me a little bit, if we were to look at boundaries in the context of technology. So we're going a little bit more granular here, because this is a challenge for a lot of families.
Yeah.
They feel that they're almost competing with, or that technology is almost controlling and skewing boundaries. Tell me a little bit about your perspective on boundaries when it comes to technology and even time.
Yeah. Okay. So I think if you're going to set any kind of boundaries, and particularly with technology and time, it's consistency is number one. The amount of times I've see people wavering on that, and then the power of the no, it's redundant. Because if you say, oh, okay, just this once, they think they can get away with it all the time. So stick to your guns. If you say no, no is no. There's no wavering on that. But when it comes to technology itself, I think it's really important for our children to grow up understanding, having a practical understanding of these platforms. There's no point in saying no, you can't use it, because it's part of life. So we have to be able to give them that that ability to do that. But in doing so, I think it's important to set those boundaries, have that time, say, okay, you've got an hour of, you can do some whether it's social stuff that they're doing or playing games, have those time boundaries, but also let them know what those risks are of what they're doing. Because I think the thing is, particularly with what I'm going through at the moment, is don't believe everything you read and see, because there's so much fakeness out there, and especially with AI now. Yes. It's like, don't believe that just because that woman says that putting oil on your eyelashes means they're going to grow.
Yes.
You know, it's marketing. Yes. And but, you know, there's obviously much more sinister things out there that can work with as well, like users on different platforms that they might not necessarily be who they say they are, which is really concerning. So try and set up your restrictions on those platforms and have an oversight of what they're doing, who they're connecting with. And as I say, just information is power. So let them know what those restrictions are. Let them know what the dangers are, so they can make some informed decisions as well.
Yes. And I think what's really important is, coming back to something you said before, is that, you know, mistakes will happen. And if they know that they can say, you know what, I stuffed up, or I missed this, or I, you know, for whatever reason, they feel they've got themselves into a little bit of a knot with something, that they still feel that openness to come and say, hey, I've stuffed up. And have that reassurance that, you know, you're not going to be reprimanded or berated or anything like that. And that is probably, to me, and I know others have shared this who I've spoken to, that is almost like the core most important thing, is that trust, is that unconditional, absolutely, I've got your back.
Yeah.
So that anything that can happen out there, which can be super scary or confronting, they know they've got that grounded safe space that they can, yeah, say, hey.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's giving them that space to be able to say what their concerns are as well. I think that's important, having that one-on-one time with them just so they can open up.
Yeah, absolutely. That is golden time. I call it golden time. Yeah. And I think just, you know, as we close off, Anna, we really can make raising children feel more complex than what it needs to be. What do you personally use as your way to priority check and to come back to what's most important, just to keep things simple?
Yeah. Okay. So daily challenges, what I try and do is what I would call like an impact thermometer.
I love that. Thermometer. Okay, cool.
So what I do is I'll think, how much does this situation affect your health, your wellness, and your learning capability?
Yeah.
If it's tick, 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 like, okay, hands down, let's sort this out right now. And also, if it's a reoccurring pattern, if it's a minor thing, but it keeps popping its head up, then I'll go, okay, this is now a priority. If it's become a priority, then you go through the whole process of finding the right advice and how to impart that to my daughter. But my priority has always been her. So it's just innate now. And I put myself in that situation because of my work situation where I can go, okay, she's my number one.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Because you can do it. Gosh, I love the impact thermometer. Like, that is like, you've given, yeah, my brain has got all sorts of imagery and I'm like, this is incredible. But the impact thermometer is awesome. So you got, and it's a really simple way to come back and just go, right, is this impacting the big rocks of life?
Yes.
And the recurring, yeah, it keeps recurring. And I always say recurring is a communication to you that you just need to go deeper and there's a learning that needs to happen. You just got to dig. Beautiful. Love that. So I guess as we finish up, any final take-home messages, Anna, for all the parents, carers, the professionals who work with children?
I think I touched on it just a second ago, but it's really important to have that golden time.
Yeah.
So however, whatever that looks like, for me, it's dinner time. And we sit and we talk, and then we have about half an hour, 45 minutes afterwards where we'll have our downtime. That might be just chatting or watching TV or something together so that we've got that every day we can download. And then at the weekend, that might be if I can see things are building up and I need her to talk, I'll just say, okay, let's go for a walk. And it might be to a cafe or something, because then I know there's nothing else around her that's distracting. And she then starts to talk. So I think that's really worked for me. But also something I've had to really learn, and I still struggle with it, but I try, is knowing not every situation and challenge you need to fix. Just listening and sympathizing is quite often all that's required.
Yes, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
It's very hard.
It's hard, but it is. I know. Yeah, the benefits and the value and the importance of that, you just can't define it. It's massive. Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful way to end the chat today, Anna. That is amazing. How can people learn more about yourself or the CEO Magazine Global? Tell us more about that.
So we have our website, theceomagazine.com.au, and my profile is on LinkedIn. So anybody wants to come and have a look at me and what I do.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Anna. It's been a joy. And you have contributed like an incredible array of golden nuggets to help us raise empowered humans. So thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining the Chat About Children with Sonia Vestelich. www.chataboutchildren.com.